Before Teresa comes up to read today, and the title of our message is The Davidic Experience, I want you to please look at the quote inside the devotional, would you? Together? As I was preparing the message this week about the Davidic experience, this truth, this biblical truth came to me, this quote here. Governance of life is not for humans. Sovereignty lies with God. We're going to unpack that. We're going to unpack the blessed hope, peace, and rest in that quote. And Teresa is now going to come up and read Isaiah chapter 9, which is on the back of your devotional. How does it tie together? The quote that is inside the devotional is a synopsis of what Teresa is going to read. The verses that Teresa is about to read can be distilled down to that quote. So, Teresa, could you come up, please?
From Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod of their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For the trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. May God bless that reading of his word.
I've told you this story before, but it's a great illustration of the Davidic experience, which today will be introduction again to the Davidic experience. We're going to unpack Psalm 51 eventually. But before we do, we need background on this. And here, the example I've used before is when Tori was a little boy, and he was... We'd read him his bedtime stories, and we put him in bed. He must have been 7 or 8 years old. And he and Timmy were in their bedroom together, and their bedroom door was open. And I was upstairs doing something, and I walked back and forth a couple of times. And he could see me from his bed. And he was tucked in there and cozy, and then he called me in, and he said, "Dad, I like to see you walk back and forth in the hall." He said, "It makes me feel good." And what that little boy was saying, and you know what I want to say to God today, is that he felt good knowing there was a power greater than himself in control. And because of that, and a realization of seeing me. Because of that, he was able to rest in his bed. It made him feel good. Teresa asked me, I think last night or the night before, from a book that she's reading in Alana's Bible study, which meets here at the church, by the way, Thursday nights. And Teresa said there was a question in there. I think it was that book, wasn't it? That there was a question in there that she said, what do men want their wives to know but find it hard or impossible to explain to them? I think that's it. And she asked me that. And I thought for a little bit, and I said, I think the answer for me would be how hard it is to be a man and protect your family and to remain a godly man and to stand between your family and trouble. I find that hard to explain to a woman. Now, maybe you're going to say that's a sexist comment. Okay, I am guilty. But I think that is the mandate that God has given to men. In other words, am I the final arbiter for my family? Am I the final stop as a man? Or is there something in control? Is there something greater? And I would like the peace, maybe you would too, man or woman, would like the peace to know that someone is patrolling the hall, so to speak. Someone's walking up and down the hall. Here we have Isaiah, and this is a well-known passage. And we read it at Christmas time. I think it's also a misunderstood passage, and it pertains to exactly what I said about something greater than ourselves. Because here we have the darkness people. The darkness people, and they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing like it's harvest time, and they're also rejoicing like they just competed in a battle, and they've been successful, and now they're dividing the spoils of that battle. And why are they rejoicing? Because you see in verse 2 there, a light has dawned on them. Something's dawned on them. Some truth. Some very beginning, early understanding of a truth that God's Spirit wants to give you today. Something's going to dawn on you today. And here's what's dawned on them. And here's why they're rejoicing, because they've seen a light. Something's dawned on them that they never even thought existed. They never knew that this light was there. And they're walking and they're living in darkness. That's just the way life is, right? You're on your own, darkness people. That's the way it is. Make the best of it. Do the best you can with that issue. Governance of life is not for humans. Sovereignty lies with God. And the way the enemy kept these people in the dark is verse 4. And they're rejoicing because the enemy's tool to control you and to keep you feeling like there's nothing greater than you, you have the governance of your life on your shoulders. Does he do that to you? Am I the only one? Because Isaiah says, look here, you've shattered their burdensome yoke. See, Tori didn't have a burdensome yoke. He rested in the fact that there was sovereign, someone sovereign in his little life, sovereign, taking care of things. This is the Davidic experience. You've shattered their burdensome yoke, verse 4. The rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor. Wow, Isaiah, did you nail that one? The rod and the staff of the oppressor. Because what the enemy wants you to think, he tells you a lie. He told the paradisal man a lie. Don't leave sovereignty with God. You be sovereign. And the minute you buy into that, he has you. And it becomes a burden, doesn't it? It becomes the rod and the staff of the oppressor, making you think governance of your life is on your shoulders. Tracking? But the darkness people have started to think differently. Something's dawned on them. Something has dawned on them. Wait a minute. Maybe we don't have to. Maybe we have bought into the enemy's lie. Maybe we don't have to have this terrible burden of sovereignty on our shoulders. Men, let go of that. And if you don't let go of it, and you're a man of God, he'll put you in a position where you'll have to let go of it. Amen. The Davidic experience. Why? You see, when we are our own God, when we set ourselves up as sovereign, we bought into the enemy's burdensome yoke, the rod and the staff of him on our shoulders. And we come to think that chaos, entropy, and death are just the way it is. And chaos, entropy, and death are simply in this world because man set himself up as sovereign. And after century of this drip, drip, burdensome yoke, rod, and staff, centuries of that, a light's dawning on humanity. This was never the way it was supposed to be. I was never supposed to be sovereign. I was never to have governance of my life. I was never intended to do this. Why? Verse 6. For a child will be born for us, the darkness people, us under the burdensome yoke, us under the rod and staff of the oppressor. A child will be born for us, and a son will be given to us, you darkness people. And now something's starting to dawn on us. What is it? What's the dawn on us? The very next line. And the government, look at that. The government will be on his shoulders. Think you have to steer your life? You're sovereign? It's a burdensome yoke. It's a rod of the oppressor. It is a staff of the oppressor. And when it dawns on us that the entire reason God gave this son to these darkness people was so that the government will now be on his shoulders, not yours and not mine. got some situations you don't know what to do with? And the enemy, drip, drip, drip. It's up to you. You're sovereign. You're God. The governance of that situation is up to you. Lots of luck. You wanted it, you got it. Oh no, I'm going to claim verse 6. Huh. You want to try it? You want to claim verse 6? Oh, the government, Isaiah says, the reason they're rejoicing, the reason they're dividing up spoils, and the light that has dawned on them is all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, the government's now on his shoulders. Nice. Makes me feel good. This is the Davidic experience. Because what God wants you to understand today, this comes with conviction, believe me. Something can be over for you. And something new can begin for you. You need some newness? You want to move from verse 4 to verse 6? You want to make that leap? Something you never even thought could possibly be. But it's going to dawn on you today. It's just going to start. If the Spirit can start to make that realization, that biblical truth dawn on you. The Davidic experience. Governance of life is not for humans. Sovereignty lies with God. David sins. David sins grievously. And because of that, watch this. Because of that, he is about to learn this immutable biblical truth. David's in a situation. You're in situations. We had prayer. You're in situations. Circumstances. Get that rod off your shoulders today. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I have no way out. There's no answer here. I don't know. That was David. He didn't know. And David sins grievously, and he elects to assume God's role in his life. David is now sovereign. I don't know about you, but I do very poorly with being sovereign. So when David does that, and when you do that, and when I do that, when you usurp God's sovereign role, like David did, all David has to draw on now are his attributes. That's all he's got. Because there can't be two sovereigns in your life. It can't be. Sovereign, by its very definition, means you can't have two sovereigns. Well, I'm going to handle this situation as sovereign, and I'm going to ask God to help. Now, that's not going to fly. There's only one Lord of the Ring, and he doesn't share power. So David reacts by electing to be sovereign. God was sovereign. David moves in. God, excuse me, off the throne. I put myself on that throne. And now, the minute he does that, God's attributes have been expelled. Gone. And David only has David's attributes at his disposal. And we remember what Hosea said about fallen man's attributes, remember? Fallen man's attributes. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, bloodshed. That's the skill set David now has to work with. And boy, doesn't he. Every single one of them. Because he's sovereign. And that's all he's got. It's not a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like the song, little bit of this, little bit of that. Uh-uh. And with David acts out Isaiah 9, doesn't he? He acts out Isaiah 9, and when he draws on his attributes, because he allows the oppressor, he allows that liar to come to him and say, you've got to take over. Here, the rod and the staff is now on your shoulders. David, the government's on your shoulders. And when he does that, chaos, entropy, and death reign, don't they? They reign. He expels God, and therefore he expels God's attributes. Righteousness, justice, love, compassion, mercy, slow to anger, relenting from sending disaster. God's attributes have now been, oh, I'm going to go back to God when this is over. I just want to be sovereign for a little bit. And then I'll abdicate the throne. Back to you, God. You see what's happened? To David? He expels God's attributes, and therefore the governance of this situation now lies squarely on David's shoulders. He has gone back to verse 4 of Isaiah 9. How are you doing with that? God specializes in things thought impossible to him. Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? This is a mountain David cannot tunnel through. You want to know if you're being sovereign in a situation or if God is being sovereign? What thoughts come to your mind about the situation? Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, and bloodshed? Does that come to your mind? Or righteousness, justice, love, compassion, faithfulness. Does that come to your mind? That'll tell you who's on the throne. That'll tell you who's sovereign. And who you've elected to be on the throne. David elects himself to be on the throne. And the sign and the symptom? I know some of you are struggling with this. I've been around too much. I hear too much. I see too much. And do not insult God by anointing your attributes with him. Do you know what I mean by that? Oh, I have an agenda. I'm sovereign. I have an agenda. And I'm going to commit that agenda to prayer because I want God to anoint my agenda. And I want you all to join me. I'm sovereign. This is how it's going to work out. I'm on the throne. Would you all please join me in prayer so that God makes sure this happens for me? How do you know? What is David's attitude here? You want to know if you've repented or not. You want to know if God is sovereign in your life or not. Those who are sovereign and rely on your attributes of fallen man to control your life are harsh. These people are harsh. They're unmerciful. They're condemning. They're judgmental. Because they've never repented. So Nathan comes with this scenario to David. And boy, David overplays his hand here, doesn't he? Enter David's remembrancer. If you are sovereign and you've expelled God from the situation, the circumstance, if you've expelled God from running your family, from leading your family, listen, God's going to send a remembrancer. And God does with David. And David employs his attributes, puts Uriah at the front of the line in the fiercest fighting Joab, and make darn sure he's killed. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, bloodshed. Of course, our attributes lead nowhere else. That's all we've got. And that's how it ends. And David overplays his hand, and Nathan comes to him, and he gives him the scenario, and David shows his rock-hard heart. He's judgmental, unmerciful, harsh, condemning. Here's a poor man who had one lamb, and here's a rich farmer who had many lambs. And the rich farmer comes over and steals the one little lamb from the poor farmer, David. What should happen? Well, that pales into insignificance compared to what David did, right? I mean, truly. And David, in a huff and self-righteousness because he's sovereign. You know, sovereign people don't have to repent. I'm sovereign. That's where David is right now. And David jumps up. He should be killed. And your remembrancer will say to you, you're the man, you're the woman, and you have just shown me, and you have just shown God, beyond any shadow of a doubt, you've never repented. How do you react to the people's sin? What do you think of people? Blessed are the merciful, because they'll receive mercy. And the only way David could have been merciful here, the only way you can be merciful, is that if you've dealt with your sin. And David, to his credit, immediately owns up. I've sinned before God. And this same man who relied completely on his attributes, who made himself sovereign, who expelled God, this same man, because of the Davidic experience, because of what he did. That's hard for us, isn't it? Because of what he did, writes a psalm later that says this as the opening lines, Lord, I turn my hope to you. My God, I trust in you. David's there. after a precipitous fall. How should we look at people that have sinned? Oh, I've never done that. What's the matter with you? Blessing left behind. Remember Hosea? He says, no, it's Joel, excuse me, Joel 2:14. Joel says, who knows? God, if you repent, God may turn, God may relent, and God may leave a blessing behind. Blessing left behind? Open your Bibles to the Psalms sometime. If you don't think God left a blessing behind in David's life. Next week, we'll unpack that powerful 51st Psalm. I'm going to invite you to read that this week, study it this week. Let God speak to you about that this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words and for the hope that you hold out for your people, that the government is now on your shoulders. Amen.